Welcome to Extreme Prophetic. My name's Patricia King, and I have with me today Becky Fisher from Kids in Ministry International. Becky, it's great to have you
with us.
And we've been talking about kids in ministry and how God's using children and working through them in powerful ways.
Yes.
And healing the sick and raising the dead and casting out devils. And
it's amazing.
Yeah.
And you know, these things don't happen by accident, Patricia. It really does take a deliberate mindset. Even when I began working with children in the local church, it was a deliberate, on purpose act to begin to teach them how to hear God's voice, to begin to teach them how to heal the sick. And I tell people, we have to turn our children's ministries into clinics of functioning Christianity, where we actually get them out of their chairs, and we've got to get rid of this whole mindset of, you just sit there and listen to me talk, and to come on up here and let me show you how to do it. And then you practice, you literally practice in your children's ministries on how you lay hands, what you say, how you say it, how to speak the name of Jesus, how to invoke the blood of Jesus for healing and those different things. And you sit in and you literally have them practice speaking in tongues.
Right.
You have them practice hearing God's voice. It's a deliberate thing. It doesn't happen. These miracles that we've been talking about, they don't happen by accident.
You know, Becky, even the desire to see children moving like this, I believe, has to be birthed in the church, because especially for our generation, like my generation, baby boomers, everything was about us.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's all about me. It's all, you know, all the economy, everything was about us, like catering to us. So then when we became adults, even in church services, it was all about us.
Oh, man.
You know, and so we built everything around us. And the children were, okay, go into the nursery or go into the Sunday school class, because we have to have the real meal deal here.
That's exactly right.
And it's like, it was so selfish. And so I think that even to desire to see children moved upon by the Spirit has to be chosen.
Yes, it does.
A chosen desire. And we do a teaching called Focus and Passion. And I've discovered that those two ingredients, focus and passion, are found in every revivalist. They were passionate about what was available to them in God, and then they went and focused on that, and they put their energy into it. And it's like, when you do that, you'll have results. I was sharing with a team member just last week, and I said, you know, if you want to be successful in an area of ministry, then it's going to take your focus and it's going to take your passion. And you'll find it that if you start to dissipate in either of those two things, in your passion or your focus, then the life or the energy of the Spirit that is inside of that mandate will dissipate too over time. You can go for a little while on the leftovers of yesterday's passion, but not forever. And so I think God needs to stir passion and focus in us so that we'll just go for it and say, we'll do whatever it takes to see a generation of children raised up.
See, this is where I'm at with this generation, because we like to always say all the time, we're very good about, well, this is the church of tomorrow. No, it's not. It's the church of today.
Yes.
Because if we don't engage them now while they're children, if we wait until they become teens, or if we wait until they become young adults, it's too late, because they're already making up their mind when they're 10, 11, 12 years old, whether the church has any relevance to their life at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already decided whether they're going to continue going to church. And as many as 70% of our kids that race in our Sunday schools ultimately leave the church and never step foot in church again, when they're not discipled to become active participants in what God is doing.
Yeah.
And so it really is something that we have to do. We have to really take it on as a focus.
Yeah.
Because I tell people this, it's not about me anymore.
Yeah.
I tell them, if I live to be 100, I've lived more of my life than I've got left to live. It's not about how many people are going to get healed if I lay hands on them and pray. It's about how many people are going to get healed if I teach children how to do this.
Yeah.
It's not how many good prophetic words I can give, but it's how many children can give prophetic words and change people's lives because I taught them how to hear the voice of God.
And then they'll grow up also bearing fruit and passing it on to the next generation, and that's what we need.
God is a generational God.
He is.
He's all about, in fact, when you think about the scripture, Joel 2:28, what does he say? In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon your sons and your daughters, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions, and on your handmaidens and on your young men, I'll pour out my spirit. What is he saying? I'm going to reach the boys and girls and pour out my spirit on the boys and girls. I'm going to pour out my spirit on the old men, and I'm going to pour out my spirit on the young, you young adults. He wants to use every generation.
Yeah.
To walk in the power of God.
Becky, I know that in church, a lot of times the whole thing of children's ministry is like, okay, we need some children to volunteer, or some parents to volunteer to look after the children, do your 3-month stint or your 6-month
exactly.
stint or whatever. And no one really seems to want to do it, or very few, I should say, very few really have a passion for it or a focus on it. Most are doing it out of obligation, but their heart's not in it, so they just go through the motions, and, you know, they're probably responsible, and they prepare their lessons or whatever, but it's not because they're passionate. But we really do need to stir up the passion, and if we don't have it, receive it from God. Because I know that when our children were little, we took our turns in the nursery, and we took our turns in Sunday school, and I could hardly wait till it was finished. To be honest with you, I was one of those ones that I wasn't motivated to look after children. In fact, children intimidated me. And so, in fact, I couldn't even keep a classroom together. They would just all disobey, and they would all do whatever they wanted. I could never get control of the classroom. I was intimidated by children, and they would just take it over. But and so I never liked doing my month or two or however long it was. But, you know, I realize now looking back that all I had to do was go into prayer,
yeah.
spend the same amount of prayer that I would use in asking for something I really wanted. And if I went before God and asked him for a passion and a focus for children and an anointing to make me effective with children, that he would give it to me.
Here's what we do in the church. It's like, okay, you ask someone, would you please come and help us in the children's ministry? And they say, you know, I would. But I just don't want to miss out on the move of God that's going on in the adult services. And so then the pastor comes to the children's pastor and he says, now make sure that you set your schedule up in such a way that you can sit in an adult service at least once a month, because after all, you need to be fed. What have we just said about our
yeah,
children's ministry?
Right.
Number one, no one's getting fed. And number two, there's no move of God.
Wow.
Which one of us adults would stay in a church where there was no move of God and no feeding going on? Not one of us. We'd be out the door and looking for another church. And yet we expect our kids to sit in that for 12 years. Then they wonder why the church children don't want to keep coming when they become teenagers.
Wow, good point. I just had a vision as you were talking of a room full of children in the glory.
Mm.
And there was this huge move of God over them. And adults were coming in from the adult service to be part of what God was doing amongst the children. I think we're going to see a lot more of that. I know that some of it has already been happening, but we're going to see a lot more of that, I believe.
Oh, absolutely. Just a couple of weeks, or about a week ago, we had our annual kids conference. And two little kids got up in the end of the service and started prophesying, or not, it wasn't even prophesying. They were just saying, you know, I just saw this picture of just glitter everywhere. So I started thinking, hey, everybody, check your hands. And so we started checking our hands, and I got some glitter on my, it's probably my makeup. No. Anyway.
We've had it in the studio.
Have you had it in this
often,
room before?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, oh my goodness. Anyway, they started checking their hands, and there was one lady who literally had come out of a very abusive background. She needed to know the power of God. She got glitter, gold dust on her. My hands are covered right now as I'm talking. This hand. Anyway, she had it covering her hands. She'd call me in the next day. She said, I've taken a shower and I've gone swimming. It's still there. I just talked with her this morning. She says, it's still on my hands, and everybody I touch, it's getting on them. And such a person said, when you were talking, the glitter was on your face. And so it's like children will see these things and they don't even know they're being prophetic, but the glory of God is filling the
sure.
room because their hearts are so open.
Yeah, I know that God wants to pour his spirit out upon all flesh. That includes the flesh of children.
Yeah.
You know, and we're just living in this most amazing time, just full of signs, wonders, miracles. And
it is.
God is definitely visiting children. We're going to be right back.
All right, what's your name?
Christina.
Christina, come on up here, Christina. Let's stay off the steps, boys and girls. Let's move back. Christina, what are you going to pray for?
Unforgiveness.
Unforgiveness? Whose? Yours? You got unforgiveness in your heart? Do you? You want to share with us what it's about? Okay, but you just know it's there and it's got to go. All right. Do you want to pray for yourself? Or do you want someone to pray for you?
Someone to pray for me.
You want someone to pray for you, all right? Who wants to pray for unforgiveness? You pray for Christina.
Okay. Lord, we just come to you asking you today to help Christina forgive her father or anybody, even though he may have been out drinking or doing drugs or whatever they might have been doing, and they might have hurt her, they might have left her alone, abandoned her, and we just ask you to help her forgive that and break that yoke that's been binding her and holding her back from moving forward in you, and we ask you to just move her forward in you too. And just break that yoke so that she may move forward and help bless other people that also have unforgiveness in their heart. And we ask you to forgive that person for what they did, even though it's unchristian-like. And we don't even know what it might have been, but we ask you to forgive it anyway, no matter how bad it might have been. We know that we can always come back to you and repent, and then we'll always be closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Did anything he say? Do you guys know each other? Oh, so did you know this stuff then?
No, he did not know nothing about it.
But was he right on?
Yes.
It was about your daddy? Christina, now it's really good that they prayed for you, but now you need to say with your own mouth, I forgive my daddy.
I forgive my dad.
All right, let's break this in. Yeah, yeah, come on, come on, come on. Wow, hallelujah.
Well, welcome back. We're talking about kids and ministry and how kids can do it.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
And you've got some amazing testimonies of kids ministering healing. So do you want to share some of those?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the very first time, I was raised in a denomination that believed in healing, but I'd never seen a healing. It was like it was even in our doctrine of faith, but I had lived my whole life and never seen it. And then one day, Charles and Francis Hunter came through our region. Do you remember Charles mm-hmm. and Francis? Mm-hmm. And their whole ministry was about teaching the body of Christ how to heal the sick and about getting them filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was so hungry for that. I went to a week-long meeting, and what was interesting is they would get people up, and they would say, now we're going to, they would teach us what the Bible had to say about healing. Then they said, now we're going to pray for the sick. But Francis would say, but Charles and I aren't going to pray. You're going to pray. For the first time in my life, I laid hands on someone and they got healed instantly when I prayed for them. For the first time in my life, I got healed of something when someone prayed for me. I was so excited that the first
awesome.
Thing I did was go back, and I just happened to be taking my turn in the church teaching children at that time. And somebody forgot to tell me I shouldn't be teaching children this stuff. I went right back there and taught them everything that Charles
right
and Francis
on.
Taught us. And they would teach us to speak to the mountain and cast it into the sea. So I would teach these kids, man, when you're praying for somebody with cancer, you speak to the cancer and you say, be gone in the name of Jesus. And if you're praying for somebody who's got tuberculosis, you say, be gone in the name of Jesus, and on and on. So this one day, a good friend of mine who had a four-year-old son in our children's ministry, she knew what we were teaching the kids, and she got a headache. And she was laying on the couch, and she said to her son, Kyle, she says, Kyle, come over here and pray for mom. She says, I've got a headache. Lay your hands on me and pray for me. So, and she goes, here, put your hands right here on my eyes, because that's where the headache has settled. So little Kyle walks over there and lays his hands on her eyes, and he goes, eyes, be gone in the name of Jesus.
whoops.
But she got healed, you know. We laugh about that to this day, but I'm telling you, kids are radical
yes.
when it comes to healing
yes.
the sick. It's amazing, some of the stories.
Wow. Well, tell us some of the stories.
Okay. Well, for instance, we just recently, a lady that's working with us over in India, she's working with Hindu kids in the slums, and she's been very, very hesitant to teach these kids that are, because their parents are still Hindus, mm-hmm. and there's still a lot of persecution in the area where she's at. So she's been really holding back. We finally convinced her to just press in and get the kids filled with the Holy Spirit and get them, you know, healing the sick and all. And so she did. And these kids, first of all, have turned into radical intercessors. Wow. But this one little Hindu boy went home one day, and his younger brother was sick. And so he decided to pray for him, but his mom and dad were there. He just sort of quietly went over.
He's from a Hindu family, but he's now born again.
He's born again and filled with the Spirit and is learning how to heal the sick. So he went over and kind of didn't want anyone to know what he was doing, you know. Very quietly lays his hand on his brother and prays for him. Nothing happens. So he kind of prays again. Nothing happens. So boldness comes all over him, and he says, "In the name of Jesus, be healed." Suddenly, his little brother was totally up and healed. Wow. And the parents are going, "What was that God you just prayed to? Who was that you just prayed to?" You know, when you teach them what to do, it's totally amazing.
Yes.
It really is. And then
I appreciate his boldness.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't just, you know, pray once or twice. He just kept at it. He must have had a lot of faith, because he just wouldn't take no for an answer.
Yeah. Same area. This was Christian kids, but they came out of denominational. It was like my second trip to India. And we were trying to impact the parents and the children's minister with kids can do this. So I find myself, I heard these words coming out of my mouth at the end of the service. "Kids, come on up here, and I'm going to prove to you that God," and I'm thinking, who said that? You know? So here's these kids up there, and I said, okay. And I got a word of knowledge, and I said, "I want people who have got some kind of back trouble to come up here right now." Well, the whole front fills up with people with back trouble. And there was this little Hindu grandma, I'll never forget. And she comes up there and she's holding her hands like this with a little dot on her forehead. And we got the kids gathered around. And it's as mechanical as this, Patricia. You just say to the kids, okay, lay your hands on her. Put your hand on the shoulder, on the head, on the back, whatever. And now repeat after me. And that's what we did. And all of a sudden she's going, she got healed. She couldn't speak English, but she got healed, you know? So we walked down, and there was a woman that, a younger woman had come to the front, and she was literally, someone had to help her get to the front, and she was literally walking like this because she was in such pain. She was partially bent over. So the kids walked over there, and we began to mechanically go through, and they laid hands on, and we began to pray. And I said, "Are you any better?" "A little." So we prayed again. "A little." She's just a little. And we began to pray, and all of a sudden, tears began to stream down her face because she could stand up perfectly straight. We have a picture of her standing like this with tears running down her face and the kids laying hands on her, totally healed. And she walked back to her chair completely upright.
Beautiful.
At the end of that, some little girls walked up to me, and she goes, they asked me, "Did we really heal those sick people?"
Aww.
I said, "Yes, you did, in the power of Jesus."
Yeah.
Kids are hungry to be used by
and
God.
And they're doing what God told us to do.
Absolutely.
He said, "Heal the sick."
That's right.
He didn't say, "Pray for the sick." He said, "Heal the
sick."
That's
exactly right.
But we heal them in Jesus' name, and that's what those kids learn to do. In our church that we have locally, we have a little evening church called Extreme House Church.
So, okay.
And it's a very relational setting and everything, very casual setting. But we oftentimes will have the children come, like during the prayer time for the sick, we have the children lay hands on the sick because God uses them so powerfully.
Yeah.
And I can't remember a time when they prayed for someone and the person didn't get a healing.
Wow.
Like, it's just like every time. And I remember years ago when we had our center down in Mexico, and we would go into amongst the poorest of the poor to go and minister. And I remember this one day taking a little boy who was 11 years old, and he had never been on the mission field before and never had prayed for the sick before. And so we always went door to door and asked if there was anyone sick, and we'd pray for them. And so on the very first home we went to, there was a person who was really sick, had a very bad headache. And so I said to the little boy, "Just put your hand on the head." And he said, "Now what do I do?" He was so sweet.
Aww.
And I said, "Well, just say, 'Be healed in Jesus' name.'" So he did that very mechanically.
Yeah.
"Be healed in Jesus' name," this precious little boy. And then like that, this person was like, Wow. And they didn't speak good English, but, you know, they were saying to us that the headache was gone.
Awesome.
And so the little boy was so encouraged. So the next person we went to was a very sick person, and they were in a bed with a very severe kidney disease. Honestly, they would have been dead if they didn't get a miracle of healing. And I had the little boy pray again, and instantaneously, this was a miracle of healing.
Praise
now, this
God.
Is a little boy who had never been on the mission field before and never once had prayed for the sick and didn't even know you could.
Wow.
And it's just that the very first person, there was a healing. And then the next one with a severe ailment was healed because God honors the faith of a child.
Yes, He does. He really does. We've just had so many different things. One of the favorite stories that I tell is about a little girl by the name of Ivy who was in my hometown of Bismarck, North Dakota. And her mother was an intercessor. And Ivy was a single, an only child at the time. And so the mom didn't have any place to leave her, so she would take her into the prayer closet with her. So from the earliest of ages, she would pull on her daughter and say, Ivy, what's God saying to you? And she would teach her how to just operate in the spirit. Well, one day, Ivy's grandfather had a serious problem with his eyes. He had, I don't know what it was, retinas detached or something. And he had to have an operation, and his eyes were not healing. The doctor says they should have healed up in just a matter of days, and he should have been able to go back to work. But after 6 weeks, they still were not forming scar tissue. He was out of work. He was out of workman's comp, out of money. And so anyway, he came over to their house just to visit, very discouraged. And then after his visit, he went out the door. Well, little Ivy, who was only 2 years old at the time, came out of her bedroom, and she goes, where's Grandpa? And Mom says, well, he had to go home. She goes, no, I have to do something. She goes tearing out the door, running down the street, going, Grandpa, Grandpa, stop. I have to do something.
Wow.
She goes running up. He picks her up, and she took his glasses. Well, those sunglasses that cover so no sunlight could get in. Took his glasses off, kissed each one of his eyes, said, Jesus, jumped down out of his arms and ran back in the house. And 1 week later, Grandpa was totally healed and back at work.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love this, Becky.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And I know, like, you sent an email this morning that has, I think it had 3 pages of the high, just titles of testimony.
Yes.
And that was just what came just off the top of your head.
Yes.
I mean, God is moving amongst children. We have people on our team who've been faithful to minister to children. One gal up in our office in Canada has ministered to children. Actually, she started in a daycare, her own daycare, and looked after children preschool ages. And you know, those children are grown up now, and they are grounded in the Lord because she cared for them, because she poured into them, because she put the word into them, because she taught them concerning Jesus and the supernatural kingdom of God. My sister, for years, has worked with children's ministry. To this day, there's adults now who go back to my sister and say, thank you so much for what you poured into me. We want to thank you, Becky, for all that you've done to minister to that generation of children. And
praise
I know
God.
That great is going to be your fruit. And, you know, I just want to pray right now for you. If you're a children's minister, and if you're not, maybe after today, God's going to empower you to focus on that generation. But if you're ministering to children today, I want to commend you for taking the time and giving them your heart, giving them your life. And that is really good seed to sow, because the seed that you're sowing with your time, with your faith, with your love, with your energy is going to make a difference for all eternity. And so God bless you. And Lord, I just pray for a strengthening upon these ones. I ask, Lord God, that you would increase them in creativity and in fruitfulness, even 1,000-fold more than what they are right now. God bless you.
We'll preach good news to the poor. You will bind up the brokenhearted. You will proclaim freedom for the captives. You will release the ones in prison. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord surely is upon you. He has
You know, some people ask me, Becky, does this really work to be able to teach children to walk in the supernatural power of God? Does it really make a difference in their desire to stay engaged in the body of Christ, to stay as active members of the church and to continue on? And I can say without a doubt, it makes a huge difference. We now have been in this for 8 years, just as Kids in Ministry International. But I can speak after all of the years. We've got kids that were coming to our camps and conferences 5 years, 6 years ago, who are now teenagers, and they're still coming back. 16, 17-year-old kids are still coming back because they say there's nobody who's teaching teenagers how to walk in the supernatural power of God. And they're so hungry for this. They want so much to be a part of what God is doing today. So I just want to encourage you right now, whoever you are, if you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, if you're a pastor, if you're a children's minister, I want to encourage you that this is where we need to take this generation. Let's walk shoulder to shoulder, one generation, lauding the praises of God to the next, walking together as a supernatural army of God, because He wants to use all age groups, not just us as adults. He wants everyone to step in to the supernatural power of God. So I just bless you as you continue. Father, I bless these people right now who are listening to this program. And God, we ask you to release your supernatural power on every single person who's listening. Give them vision, give them passion, and give them focus, Father, for the days to come, for what they need to do as they step in and take this generation with them, not tagging along beside them or behind them. But Father, let's all ages together show us how to march as an army for you into these end times and to bring revival into this earth in the precious, mighty name of Jesus.